It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferrat. The passenger pigeon roamed the skies until the species was hunted to extinction in the early 1900s.
Now, conservationists are working to find the bird's historic nesting sites across Wisconsin to understand their role in forest ecology and potentially bring the species back.
Ben Novak is lead scientist for Revive and Restore, which is leading the Passenger Pigeon Project. And Steve Applebaum is a senior biologist at the Applied Ecological Institute. Steve, thanks for joining us.
You're so welcome.
And Ben, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Ben, start us off with the story of the passenger pigeon. As I understand it, the last one went extinct. 1914 was the last passenger pigeon we know about. They were huge. Tell us a little bit about their role in Wisconsin and elsewhere in North America.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably plenty of people in Wisconsin are very familiar with the passenger pigeon, and that's because a man named A.W. Schorger, back in 1955, basically wrote the book on the history of the passenger pigeon. And he was from Wisconsin. He used a lot of historic records from Wisconsin to piece together what we know about passenger pigeons. And basically what made that species so famous was in the early 1800s, before they go extinct in 1914, they were the most abundant bird in North America, likely the most abundant bird on the planet. And they were noted for blocking out the sun like an eclipse as they flew overhead, dropping guano like snow, causing mayhem in the forest. And because they were so abundant and in one spot like that, just like the American bison, and there was large herds, they were easy to go out and kill and trap a whole lot at once. And so they were fed upon by people in the millions. The industrial scale hunting went out to get them for commercial food markets. And in a matter of just a couple decades, they went from 5 billion birds to just a few thousand birds flying about. And the persecution never ended. The very last birds were killed in the wild in 1902, around Indiana and Illinois, that area. And then there were just a few of them living in a zoo at Cincinnati, Ohio, and they slowly died off. And the very last one, Martha, died September 1st, 1914.
What is it about the passenger pigeon's role in the ecosystem, Ben, that has you and your colleagues saying, hey, we should be working to do some gene tweaking, we'll get into that in a bit, and bring them back?
Yeah, so this goes back to the mayhem they would cause in the forest. And while that sounds kind of counterintuitive to a beneficial thing, what we know in forestry science today is that when you go out and you enjoy a walk in the woods and you see beautiful big oak trees and you see thrushes and sparrows and a host of different species that, you know, bring you back to the writing of Thoreau, those species that we think of as so iconic, they're dependent on things like forest fires and storms, these disturbance events that come in and cause damage in the forest so that sunlight can get down to the forest floor and allow new growth to start over. They rely on what we call the forest cycle to go over and over and over again from disturbance and regeneration and succession. And for decades, people thought the primary driver of these disturbance events that are so vital to the biodiversity of eastern United States forests were mainly from storms and fires. But people had kind of forgotten about the passenger pigeon and all of this. And these flocks of billions of birds would come into the forest, overcrowd on branches down, break entire trees down from their weight, and eventually finally settle into a, you know, nice stable perches. And then as they ate the food over a few days, they built up a whole lot of guano, which, if we're being blunt, is bird crap, several inches deep on the forest floor, like a blanket. And that snuffed out everything on the forest floor, much like a fire would clear out the vegetation of a forest floor. But unlike a fire or a storm, you know, this is more like a tornado dropping fertilizer on the forest. So that would break down, and over the coming years, all we have are these anecdotes that wherever these passenger pigeons roosted or nested for a few weeks at a time would be the greenest patch of forest or the most rich future farmland. And that's our basic value proposition for the idea.
Steve, you're part of the Wisconsin element of this project. What got you involved in this notion of bringing back the passenger pigeon and finding places for them here in Wisconsin?
I think the Oak Savanna research that a group of us in Wisconsin and Illinois started working on in 1985, where we were looking at oak decline. Dr. Alan Haney at UW-Stevens Point and a whole host of folks from the Morton Arboretum and other organizations around the region really took that on starting in 1985 and looking at what was becoming of the oak ecosystem. Ben gave me a call when, Ben, I think you were working on your PhD?
My master's. I do not have a PhD.
You've mastered and more than PhD'd your way into passenger pigeon knowledge. So I got a call from Ben asking if I recall, Ben, if what we learned about oak systems might be applicable to what he was learning about passenger pigeons. And I said, the big question I've had all my life working with oaks is, what role did passenger pigeons play in moving oak systems around, in structuring oak systems? They had to have been what's now recognized as a keystone species with the ecological engineering they did with what Ben's provided on this call. So that's what's gotten me intrigued.
And that's really kind of what dawned this research project that Steve is now helping head in Wisconsin, or hoping to engage with local landowners whose land may have actually once been host to a nesting site of passenger pigeons. And if anyone in Wisconsin has a tree in their yard that is over 150 years old, I guarantee that tree had passenger pigeons in its branches at one point in time. And that's a direct connection to that past. And we want to start using that connection to learn more and possibly create an experiment where we could actually figure out if what we hypothesize about this important role in the forest is correct and accurate, and how significant it actually will be to the future of forests.
We are talking about an effort to bring back the extinct passenger pigeon. We've got Steve Applebaum with us with the Applied Ecological Institute here in Wisconsin, and Ben Novak from the group Revive and Restore. All right, I want to talk about the how here a little bit. Let's start with the Wisconsin element here, Steve, and what Ben was mentioning about finding roosting places. So once we bring back the passenger pigeon, tall order, we'll get to that in a minute. What are you doing to find places for them to roost?
What we and several other individuals have done is we've taken the reported and recorded nesting colony locations and myriad records of observations of roosts, and we've mapped that. A group of us. So now we have. I think some of the records go back to the 1650s or 1660s, and we've got the patch of, the polygon, the 10-mile by 40-mile forest up near Merrimack, where there was a passenger pigeon colony in 1888, or the huge colony in 1871 that I can't remember how many square miles in size it was.
850 square miles.
Thank you, Ben.
Wisconsin was home to the largest nesting record in history.
So what we've done is mapped those locations, and we are beginning a process of reaching out to owners of land to ask those landowners or tell them in some cases that we believe that they have trees on their land that predated the nesting, and wondering if it would be possible to visit those older trees and visit the soil beneath those older trees and see if there's a chemical signature of the presence of all that guano that Ben mentioned that would have most certainly been associated with a nesting colony and even a roosting colony.
All right, Ben, I've left this hanging now. The key ingredient here is the passenger pigeon itself. Without digging too deep into genetic science, how do we bring them back?
So, keeping it simple, the idea is that we can sequence their DNA from the specimens you find in museums. And there are several in museums in Wisconsin and university collections that people can probably go out and see. And the idea is that if we can figure out the differences in their DNA that are responsible for their unique traits, the things that made passenger pigeons flock in these dense, large flocks, that made them hypersocial, that made them have this kind of behavior that created these forest disturbances, then we can then use modern gene editing technology and take a living relative and change its DNA to start to match that of the extinct passenger pigeon. And then we take the cells that we're doing that manipulation in, put those in a surrogate mom, put those in a surrogate dad. And then when that mom and dad breed, hopefully from the egg that hatches, we get something that starts to look and behave like the historic passenger pigeon.
Steve, one objection that I've heard to different proposals to restore extinct species is it's been over 100 years since passenger pigeons now. Our Wisconsin ecosystems are different systems in some ways. Are we disrupting the new equilibrium if we bring back this species that was, so common 150 years ago?
Well, that's a core question that Ben and I and University of Wisconsin and other team members are asking. And we're trying to go about assessing how one might answer that question. So, breaking the question down, we're asking fundamentally, are the oak and the beech forests that supported or are able to support passenger pigeons still in existence? So the acreages, the food yields, they ate a lot of acorns and beech nuts and berries and so forth. Is there an adequate supply available? And where is that located? And who owns those forests? And what is the willingness to participate at a public level, not at a private ownership level at this point? What's the opportunity? What are the obstacles? And then the more fundamental grounding question is, what will they do to the existing ecosystems, which you've so rightly identified as not being the same and perhaps not even be available in the same quantity, acres and so forth. So those are the core questions that ecologically we're trying to understand at this time.
Ben, supposing this goes ahead, what would be a timeline? When might we be able to look up and see that guano falling toward us from the sky?
Well, it's probably a long time. Experimentally, we're hoping to throw some guano from the sky on a patch of forest as early as spring next year.
Wow.
By doing an experiment.
Okay.
to see how, basically recreate that role of the passenger pigeon and study how it's going to affect everything from the microbiome and biochemistry of the soil to the growth of the trees to the regrowth of different vegetation and the colonization of different insects and how things like even deer and other species use that patch of forest after it's been disturbed and coated with guano. But that future of pigeons doing that for us, that's not coming for a while. And that's because, of course, we have to try to recreate the bird first. And these are all new technologies that are being developed, technologies that will help other species of birds and endangered species along the way. We're developing a host of different tools, not just for this, but for many other things. But it takes time. We believe we can probably start recreating the bird between 2029 and 2032. So hopefully at some point in time in the 2030s, we have a flock of birds living in an aviary that is starting to look and behave like historic passenger pigeons. And that's where the real conservation work begins, similar to how peregrine falcons were restored to the eastern forests, or California condors were restored to the west, or whooping cranes in the central United States. People have to breed those birds in these aviaries, condition them to get back out into the wild, and then produce enough of them to form sustaining flocks in the wild. And that can take decades.
We'll leave it there. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Steve, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, and very exciting to put Wisconsin on the forefront of this thinking.
Ben Novak is lead scientist for the nonprofit Revive and Restore, leading the Passenger Pigeon Project, and Steve Applebaum is founder and chairman of the Applied Ecological Institute.